Alright, Luke 24, we continue in the name authority with believing. Luke 24, and take it from there, and verse 25 to 27. So, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, that Jesus, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory. Then he says in 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now there's something very vital about this portion of scripture, was the fact that Jesus, upon his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples, and he did not just rely on the fact that they saw him alive. He gave them a message of faith above their own experiences. He showed them from the Old Testament how his resurrection was prophesied and it has come to pass. And when he was saying that, they did not know he was the Christ. So in other words, he wasn't preaching a message of experience to them. Because it was when he vanished from their sight that they now knew in verse 32. So, wow, did our heart not burn within us while he talked with us the scriptures? They took note of that. In verse 44, again, he meets another set. Everybody together now. Then he says to them, these are the words. This was after he had proven to them by eating right in their presence, and they had touched him and touched his side, then he proved to them. He said, look, these are the words, verse 44, which I spoke unto you, or spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, do not forget that we have said that the word all things does not mean everything. This had to do with him. And not everything that was written in the Old Testament was about Jesus. But there, he is specific. He picks out the truth about himself. So we shouldn't fall to the error that the entire Old Testament is about Christ. That is not true. Alright? There are specific things he was referring to here. And he was referring to the discussion they had with him. And that discussion centered around the fact that he had been raised from the dead. And so they had questions in their mind. So he solved that by looking at the Old Testament books for them. So he was very specific. And so we said, and I mentioned this in the first service, when you see the word all, it doesn't mean anything you can imagine. It's specific. You must stay within the context. And then I mentioned this also, and I must come back to it. Learn to read your Bible in paragraphs and not in verses. Read it in paragraphs. No book of the Bible, except the book of Psalms, was numbered. Not even the book of Numbers. No book was numbered. So don't think that the writer wanted it to stop at a point. And then, Rema, no. We'll see a bit of that shortly. So in this discussion, for example, Jesus was saying, all these things must be fulfilled. My suffering, which is my death, my burial, and my resurrection from the dead. He said, these things must be fulfilled. My sufferings and my resurrection that was already spoken, they must be fulfilled. It's the same when you read Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But that was not what he was saying. That you can do anything through Christ that strengthens me. But that means I can slap your face. How about that? Or going to the Aso Rock is the presidential villa in Nigeria. Then you go there and say, well, I'm now the new president. So why? I can do all things Well, you'll go to jail through Christ. What he meant was, he said, look, you guys have given to me. From verse 11. He says, I know how to abase. I know how to abound. I know how to be hungry. I know how to be full. I've learned to be content in whatever situation that I find myself. I can do how many things? Two things. Be hungry and be full. So I can be hungry through Christ. Don't die. I can be hungry through Christ. Who? That means my situation financially does not change who I am. And this beats a whole lot of wrong theology out there that seems to define a believer by his material possessions or his experience here on earth. That's a very false doctrine. The believer's position is a permanent one. It's irrespective of whatever turns out in the world. And that's how you find out that the church never celebrated wealth or poverty. It meant nothing. They were not celebrating poverty. We thank God that we are poor. Or say, that brother is blessed. Nobody said things like that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, now, how did we come to that conclusion? Because we did not read that portion in verses. We read it in the paragraph. Read the entire statement. And so just like this instance in Luke 24, Jesus was specific about what he was discussing. Look at verse 47. Or verse 45. Verse 45 says, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then verse 46 says, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Those were the things he was referring to. And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. A believer must know how to interpret the scriptures, how to read it properly. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I mentioned a few of this in the first service. I'll just go over it again. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Here it is. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father glory and honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Can you confess this for yourself? Can this be your confession? No, because it's not about you. The person here is Peter. Because he's describing an experience that he had. He says, see, we saw Jesus, we saw him, we heard the Father speak. You didn't hear the Father speak. He heard the Father speak. Or spoke. He heard it. The Father spoke and he heard him, pardon me. And he said that. And this is the four Gospels for you. I heard the Father speak. We were there with him. We drank with him. We ate with him. He said that in Acts 4, Acts 10, verse 42. We ate with him. We drank with him, verse 43. But then he says something vital here. I mentioned that in the first service. He said, but we have, praise the Lord, a more sure word of prophecy. Referring to the words of the prophet from the Old Testament. They are utterances. He says they are more reliable. What does that mean? Now, those prophets spoke by revelation. They didn't speak by eyewitness. Even John, who saw Jesus, did not speak by eyewitness because that was his cousin. He had been seeing him. He had known him before. He saw him at the baptism. He said, look, I don't have to baptize. You do it. Anyway, until he saw, my God, this is the Lamb of God. So he knew Jesus by revelation. Now, what is Peter saying here? Peter is saying revelation is superior to experience. We saw Jesus. We heard the voice. We were with him. We were eyewitnesses. We saw it. But we have what? A more sure word of prophecy. That is, revelation is superior to the experience that they had. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It's superior to that. Remember the same Peter in Matthew 16 Saint Peter, he said to Jesus in verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He saw that. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." When Jesus said that, Peter was already feeling like an emoji. I know these things from inside. So he was not listening to the rest. Jesus now said, therefore, I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. At that point, Peter was checking Facebook. He was already uploading his status. I have the revelation. And then he was going to start the church. Peter, the blessed Peter, with Revelation International Churches. But Jesus was still preaching. Said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall bind in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall lose there." And Peter was still saying, "Woo! Woo! Woo!" He missed out. And when Jesus was through with that, now if Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he's already talking about his resurrection. Peter was not paying attention. And then Jesus said, "And this is how it's going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be killed. I'll be raised the third day." Peter said, "In the name of Jesus, I bind that statement. How can you be the Son of God and die?" He was not listening. So that means the revelation that Peter had in Matthew 16 was still not sufficient. The revelation that reveals Jesus is in his resurrection. That's what reveals him. That's what gives you an optimal understanding of who he is. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. Are you following this? Are you following this? It says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." So now, I've explained that to you, that the word "God" does not open that statement. It means in diverse times and diverse manners, which refers to polytropos and polymeros, that is in different periods, portions of period, and portions of the truth. The prophets spoke to the fathers. The word polymeros refers to the times. Polytropos refers to the ways. That is, times and manners. The fathers spoke, the prophets spoke to the fathers. Then he says, God, in verse 2, has spoken in his Son. In who? His Son. Whom he had appointed heir of all things. When you say heir of all things, which things? The prophecies that the prophet gave. Jesus became the beneficiary. Not all the prophecies they gave. Not the prophecy about the fall of Jerusalem. Or about another king coming to reign. No. The prophecies that had to do with his death. We're about to see that. Jesus now became that beneficiary. Watch this. He says he had appointed him, the word there is titan in the Greek. It means he ordained him to be the one they were talking about. By whom also he made the worlds. The word "worlds" there refers to activities of the prophets. Then he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now, the rest of people use this very wonderful word. The word "image" is the word "character," an imprint. That is, if you want to see God in man, God amongst men, you look at Jesus. It distinguishes the prophets from Jesus. Many times we have allowed the characters of the prophet to look to us like the character of God. The character of God is found in who? In who? So in the Old Testament, where would you find the character of God? In the prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament. That's where you're going to find it. I explained a bit of that to you in the first service. You know, how Peter now says, we have a more sure of prophecy. And he mentions, you know, as a light that shines where? In the dark place. That means, in the Old Testament, it was dark. They had confusion. They would say, this one is God, this one is God. They would say good and evil, they say God did both. That's darkness. But it says a light that shines in the darkness until the day dawn. Hallelujah. And the day star arises in our hearts. Now, we have the day star in our heart. We have the light of God in our heart. We are not confused. That is not God. Oh, but God was trying to try me. That's not God, brother. That can't be God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. How did you know that? I found that out in Christ. I'm not grappling with uncertainties. I'm not trying to second guess. No, I know that's of the devil. If a man is sick, I didn't say God's trying to do something. God's not trying to do anything. Praise the Lord. I know death is an enemy of God. 1 Corinthians 15:26. I know that already. I know evil, envy, anger, hatred, malice, wars don't emanate from the heart of God. Hallelujah. The only war that God fights is a war against war. Peace. Peace is his war. Hallelujah. Love is his hatred. Is hatred for hatred. Hallelujah. Kindness is his character. We find that in the morning star, the day star. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Not Moses, not Isaiah. Those ones were lamps. Lotchnos. I showed that in the first service. Lamps. The light is Christ. Say the light is Christ. Pay attention. So he became the heir of those prophecies. All things, Hebrews 1, by whom he made what would be in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Now when you say the word of his power, where did those things come from? The word refers to the utterance, the word is rhema, the utterances of the prophet. So he upheld all. The word to uphold is to bear it. He bore it. He bore the prophecies that they spoke. It's what Pharaoh. He bore it. He's not talking about he upholds the universe and the sun, the moon and the stars. No. All the prophecies that came before. Hallelujah. Jesus now did what? He bore them all. What prophecies? Look at 3 again. He says, when he had by himself, what has he done? And sat down where? Is that about his death? Is that about his death and his ascension? Okay. So is this verse similar to Luke 24, verse 25, 27? Right? Verse 44 too? Luke 24, 44, right? Are they saying the same thing? So that means Hebrews 1:1 is specifically talking about the prophecies of Christ's suffering and his resurrection. Is that correct? Okay. And that's what I said. You read your Bible in what? Read everything. Never allow a verse to have a life of its own. I am the joy of many nations. I am the tree. I'm the, you just pick a statement from the scriptures without reading what you were saying before or what he said after. Hallelujah. No. No scripture was written in numbers. Not one. They were all written together like a novel. Like an entire document. So you have a responsibility. The only portion of the scripture that was numbered were the book of Psalms. And you know why? Because there were 150 different pieces. But you won't have Psalm 1 verse 1. No. Psalm 1, one document. Psalm 2, one document. Psalm 3, one document. But because they were different documents, they wanted to call everything Psalms, they put it together and they said the book of Psalms. 1, 2, 3. So you have something like the second Psalm. That's Acts 13 verse 33. The second Psalm. But you won't have Genesis 2. That one came years later. So, therefore, it's advisable to read your Bible without the verses. Just use the verses for remembrance, not for understanding. So you would say, oh! The guy was preaching somewhere. He says, was quoting Ephesians chapter 2, I believe verse 15. He says, you who sometimes were far off. He said, brethren, sometimes we are far. (Laughter)
Do you get it? Because he picked it out of context.
The Bible is such that the way you read novels, how many read novels? You still read novels? Novels, big ones. I never read novels. I never liked them. Why? I didn't like reading fiction generally. I just wanted to read real life stories. I like reading autobiographies and stuff like that. No problem. Now, imagine you are reading a novel and then you got to the second chapter, the eighth chapter. And then you saw something, and now someone said, tell me what happened in the novel. Then you relate only the fourth and second chapter. Say, oh, that was the end. That can be correct. You need to get to the very end. Or you are reading your school books and you take it out of context. Right? You will pass out of context. That's true. Praise the Lord. Many people like all those sound bites. They like it. Whatever is born of God overcome at the wall, you are an overcomer. True. I'm telling you, no matter what happens in this economy, you overcome. I don't know what verse you want to apply, but 1 John 5:4:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, alright, is born of God. So, when you get to verse 4, whatever is born of God overcometh the world. Which world? He had told you the world earlier, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He wasn't talking about prosperity. Say, I've overcome the world. Say, I've overcome the lust of the flesh. Why not say it exactly? The lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Hallelujah. So when it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, he's not talking about the fall of the stock market. Greater is he that is in you than the deception in the world. Part of that deception is prosperity. Sunday. So, learn to read your Bible in what? Paragraphs. Where was it coming from? Hallelujah. Imagine if someone should say something now, and he says, I said it the first time, I will wait for you. They said, Meanwhile, what he said was, as soon as you send the ticket to me, I will wait for you in Ikeja by 4 p.m. But you just leave that, I will wait for you. He said, I will wait for you. Five people said, I will wait for you. Oh. He will wait. He's a God that will wait for you. He will wait for you. You know that is not the truth. It is not the truth till you say everything he said. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Still out there? Okay. So learn to read your Bible in what? Where did he commence the discussion from? All have seen and come short of the glory of God. No matter how you try, no matter what you try, how you do it, you have seen. Did he say that? Which hall was he talking about? Verse 19 and 20. All that the law condemns. He wasn't referring to a general statement. As soon as they are born in this world, you have seen. Even from, in fact, my father used to pray, from our mother's womb we have been singing. How? Did I eat our womb? How can you say somebody that was not born has sinned? And the word sin is a verb. It's like looking at a billboard. Not the Apple Media type. See how he's looking at me. How is he looking at you? Hallelujah. No human being is born a sinner. It's a wrong doctrine. Sin is a performance. You have to perform first. They will call you the performer. Hallelujah. Before you conclude on verse 23, go to 19. Go to 20. Go to 21. Then 24. Then whatever he says will make a meaning to you. Is that clear? Alright, good. So learn to read your Bible that way. Don't make a conclusion. Anything you say out of context can never be the truth. Is it clear? It must be within the context. Go back to that Hebrews now. Being made so much better than the angels. These are old English words. Better than the angels. As he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Now, the word better there is the Greek word kreton. K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N. Listen carefully. It is taken from the word kratos. K-R-A-T-O-S. Which refers to dominion. Dominion. Or from another word, kastistos. K-A-T-I-S-T-O-S. Which means rank. A rank. You know, when you say major general, they have lieutenant colonel. The major general and the lieutenant colonel, we're not comparing them like one is better than the other. We're saying one is higher in what? Rank. Are you there? Okay, in rank. So that's the word he meant by the word kreton. And he uses the same terminology in the whole book, Hebrews 6 and 9. Hebrews 6 and 9, Hebrews 7, 7. Just write this down. Hebrews 6 and 9, Hebrews 7, 7, Hebrews 7, 19, Hebrews 7, 22. Hebrews 6, 9, Hebrews 7, 7, Hebrews 7, 19, Hebrews 7, 22, Hebrews 8, 6, Hebrews 9, 23, Hebrews 10, 34, Hebrews 11, 16. And Hebrews 11:35. I'll take it again. Hebrews 6:9, Hebrews 7:7, Hebrews 7:19, Hebrews 7:22, Hebrews 8:6, Hebrews 9:23, Hebrews 10:34, Hebrews 11:16, and Hebrews 11:35. Notice the comparison. It's always something found in Christ. It's of a higher ranking. And it also means what is eternal. Eternal. So when you have the word where this word creating is taken from, is the word kratos, where you can also have the word kratistos, K-R-A-T-I-S-T-O-S. It refers to a noble person who is ranked in a society or in the military. Acts 23 verse 26 for the word kratistos. Acts 23 26. Acts 24 verse 3. Acts 24 verse 3. Acts 26 verse 5. A noble person. I'll take it again. Acts 23 verse 26. Acts 24 verse 3. Acts 26 verse 5. It was used for Theophilus. Luke 1 3 and Acts 1 1. O noble Theophilus. Referring to a ranking. So he's saying Jesus was much more of a much more higher rank than the angels. Now, pay attention now. Has he already classified Jesus higher than the prophets? Huh? Why? He says, they spoke in what? In bits and pieces, but he is the word of God. Are you there? Okay, so now he comes to the angels. What does he say about the angels? He says he's of much better ranking. Okay, why? As he has by inheritance, also inheritance. Which is the word kleronomai. I'll spell it for you. K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-E-O. K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-E-O. It means to inherit something. We've seen that before. Hebrews 1:3, Hebrews 12:17, and Hebrews 6:12. Then he now stresses something. He said he had obtained, pay attention here now, he had obtained a more excellent name. A more excellent name. Now, he had mentioned a ranking. Then now says, a more excellent name than they. You know, we have said in this study that the word name does not necessarily mean letters. Like when you say Chris or John. No. The word name can also mean a position. A ranking. So, he had obtained a more excellent name, or we can say a more excellent ranking. Now this word, more excellent, is a word used for value. Or kind. Value. Value. More excellent. More value. Diaphero. D-I-A-P-H-E-R-O. Or diaphoros. D-I-A-P-H-O-R-O-S. You'll find it in Hebrews 8:6 and Hebrews 9:10. So he says, he has of more value. Number one, he says he has more ranking. Then he says he's of more value. What do you mean by more value? Verse 5. Unto which, he now says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. Hallelujah. This day have I begotten thee. Praise the Lord. Thou art my son. It's quoting Psalm 2 verse 7. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten you. Two words in there. The word Huios. H-O-U-I-S. Used for someone's heir. Who came from him. Who resembles him in character and in kind. So this day have I begotten you. Use the word Genaho. That is, you came from me. Praise the Lord. Now, God created things. He created the world. He created man. But in the new creation, we came from him. So you will have a duplication there, as it were. A reproduction. Creation is not reproduction. You make things, but it didn't come from you. But in the new creation, we came from God. Hallelujah. Say, I came from God. So he says, which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son? You are my son. Referring to the resurrection. Pay attention, please. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be unto him a father. The word is palin, afresh. I'll be to him a father. And he shall be to me a son. He's never called the father of angels. No, God is not the father of angels. But he's my father. Hallelujah. So that. Why are you talking to me like that? I'm not an angel now. Of course you shouldn't be. Verse 6. And again he brings in the first begotten. Hallelujah. You know, in the first one, the one in verse 5, you can say, well, that's Jesus. But then by saying the first begotten into the world, by using first begotten, that means there are many sons. Hallelujah. Because first begotten is the word prototokos. P-R-O-T-O-K-O-S. That means the first among many. The model for others. Now listen to this. So, wait for this now. Wait for this. He's saying that Jesus is of more ranking and more value than angels because he worked miracles. Huh? Because he's fine. I've seen Jesus. I have seen Jesus. You're lying, you know. He's so handsome than any man. And your husband is there. Than any man I know. The guy is looking at you. He lives in my house. You can't complain. You're looking at you. Ah, darling, but why did you say that? Son? He's so handsome. Hallelujah. Okay. Why is he greater than angels? Power? Beauty? Because he's a son. Hallelujah. So that means he's been a son is the name. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. He's of more. He says more. He's called the prototokos. Glory to God. When you say he is the only begotten son, you refer to the incarnation. But when you say he is the firstborn amongst many brethren, Romans 8:29, you are talking about the resurrection. Colossians 1, verse 15 and 18. He calls him the firstborn of every creature. He also calls him the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, in his death, he identified with us. In his resurrection, we identify with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Same thing. Revelation 1:5. The firstborn. Hebrews 12:23 calls the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he says he has obtained a more excellent name. You know, he calls the angels, look at verse 7, who makes his angels what? Spirits. And his ministers what? A flame of fire. He calls them servants. Same thing in 13. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make them enemies thy footstool. Are they not all what? Ministering spirits. Sent forth to minister for them which have the heirs of salvation. Let me stretch your thinking a bit. What was the writer of Hebrews doing here? You know, he said that Hebrews 1:1, the prophet spoke about Christ. That's what he said. In bits and pieces. But when he got to angels, he put them in their position. He said they are servants. Why did he say that? Because he was about to silence and retire the law. In Hebrews 2:2, he said, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the word, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard it? So, if the Son is superior to angels, then what we have in Christ is superior to the law. Are you following what we're saying here? He did that systematically for you to see. That Jesus did not give the law, neither did God give the law. The law was given by angels. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. But Moses was there. Hebrews 1:13. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them which are the heirs of salvation? So it was what man permitted that angels did. But glory be to God. Grace, which is the truth of God, came to us by Jesus Christ. The law does not reveal God. The law reveals man's nature, man's weakness. But the grace of God reveals God's character, man's provision and supply found in Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I receive the grace of God found in Christ Jesus. I'm what He says I am. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. Hallelujah. So He calls Him the first begotten. So which of the angels did He ask to sit at His own right hand? Which of the angels have authority? Look at Hebrews 2 and verse 10. For it became Him for whom are all things. He says, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. So I say many sons. Glory to God. He brought many sons. So God has many sons. Not Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them. And so are you. How? How are you Abraham's son? Which of his wives gave birth to you? I'm a son of God. Just like Abraham. Just like Abraham. Abraham is not my father. He's my brother in Christ. Say it loud. Abraham is not my father. He's my brother in Christ. So he brought many sons to glory. Praise the Lord. That he might be what? The captain. Glory to God. The captain. The word there is the archegos in the Greek. It means the founder. Somebody who is the beginner of something. Arche. He's the founder. The founder. The one who brought. The one who brought us. Salvation is not my making. It is the founder. Praise the Lord. That word is used. That's the word author. Also. Founder. He's the chief. He's the founder. You find that word in Acts 3. 15, Acts 5, 31, and Hebrews 12, 2, the author and finisher of faith. Hebrews 12, 2. He's the founder. Says, bring in many sons to glory. So who brought us to glory? Who brought us to glory? Jesus. Where are the many sons? Where are the many sons? Come on, let me see your hand. So are we of superior authority to angels? Are we? Which of the angels said thee at any time, sit? That means they all stand. All stand? Angels. I'm joking. Hallelujah. He brought many sons. So, watch this now. So, him is resurrection, his status is defined. His status is defined. His name refers to who he is today. And who is he today? He is the firstborn. That's his function. And what is the meaning of firstborn? He's bringing many sons. So how does his name work? His name works when many sons are brought. Hallelujah. Many sons. Because his name means he's the firstborn. He's the founder. He's the archetype. He is the prototype. That's his name. I'm in his name. I'm a product of his name. Watch this guys. Follow. So in his resurrection, pay attention to something. I want to show you something. He says, and I want to make a distinction for you this morning, this afternoon, just pay attention there. In his resurrection, for example, where they saw him. They saw him when he rose from the dead. They became eyewitnesses. Human beings saw him. They saw him. And in Luke 24:48, he says, you are witnesses of these things. He showed them himself. And everywhere they were preaching, they kept emphasizing the fact that they were eyewitnesses of the physical resurrection of Jesus. In Acts 2:32. They were eyewitnesses. They saw it live. Because he came and he showed himself to them. So they touched his body. They ate and drank with him. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5 and 6, Paul made mention of it. He was seen by many, Peter and the apostles, in his resurrection. But there's something else that I want you to pay attention to. Now, in Luke 24:49, go there. He says, you shall receive power. No, I'm sorry for that. He says, for the promise of my Father that I will shall be clothed with power from on high. He says, from on high. Now, when he said that, he was looking at them. Now, that is, they were physically related, which is what we call the eyewitness account. Now, you may drift to think what he's saying is, just wait for me. I will now go to a place and sit down in a planet. So when I sit there, I'll now take power and send it to you. By speaking like that, that means you lost track of what he had been saying earlier. Pay attention. When he said you will be clothed with power from on high, he wasn't just talking about his physical resurrection. Listen now. He was talking about his ascension. His ascension is a different fact of his resurrection. A man can be raised from the dead. For example, Lazarus was raised from the dead and he was still Lazarus. Right? Come on. Are you there? Eutychus was raised from the dead and he ate. That was still Eutychus. He was still where he was. He was still who he was. In fact, he died eventually. But when Jesus rose from the dead, that was not all. That's why the four Gospels do not give you a complete picture
I took the first service to explain the difference here. In the four Gospels, you keep following through a journalist account. Ah, we saw him. He ate with us for 40 days. He was this, he was that. But there was much more. If all about Jesus was that he will be raised from the dead and we will see him, then really there's not much that was done. There was his resurrection and there is also his ascension. Listen now. That ascension can only be seen by revelation. Look at John 20. Are you following this? Are you following this? John 20. Come on, talk to me. Are you following this? John 20 verse 17. He says, verse 17, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Notice that before he mentioned the ascension, he said, my Father. When he said, I'm ascended to my Father, your Father, my God, and your God. Now, that is a detail you cannot lose sight of. Remember that when he spoke to them, he opened their understanding. Their understanding had nothing to do with their eyesight. Because if I show you I'm alive, there's nothing to open your understanding about. I'm simply alive. But he opened their understanding to see details of what had just happened. In verse 45, Luke 24, he says he opened their understanding, which is the word diagnogio, to split something wide open that had not been opened before, that they might understand the scriptures. Which is, they put together the scriptures and their thinking changed. Pay attention to this. In John 20:22, the Bible says, he breathed. And we saw that word, emphuso. It means he quickened something in them. So what happened to those guys was beyond just seeing Jesus like this. They saw him somewhere else. Apart from where they were seeing him. Let me see you understand what I'm saying here. See, if you saw him physically and you can touch him, there's nothing opening my understanding about that. But he went through the scriptures to show them a reality of his resurrection, which is his ascension to the right hand of the Father. That one can never be captured by a journalist. Let me see your hand, follow what I'm saying here. Come on, let me see your hand, man. If that ascension was a resurrection, then anybody could have seen that. The ascension can only be seen by revelation. The ascension is where Jesus went to when he rose from the dead. Where did he go? In John 14. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? In John 14, in verse 2, here's Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's family, that's the word oikia. In my Father's mansion, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I what? Oh, come on. I what? I what? I go to what? Prepare a place for you. Verse 3. If I go, I will come back and what? Receive you to where? So that where I am. Are you following this, church? In my Father's house, which is the word household, oikia, when I was a younger Christian, there was a sister who told us that she died. And then she went to heaven and saw a mansion. And that sister was very, very spiritual in our faces. In fact, she used to tell us that before she wears anything, she will ask the Holy Spirit. And whenever you see what she wears,
you know it's a spirit that told her to wear it.
Is that how I died, brethren? And then she's already talking, she's already crying.
A spiritual person.
Ah, Jesus, sweet Jesus. Don't let those things carry you away.
They are fraught with ignorance.
So she said, she got to heaven. And she saw that what was left, that whenever you are doing things on earth, you are putting blocks. 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 And you are building it. You do something bad.
Said, our own mansion was like a shop. I said to myself, me now bust up. Shop.
She now said, the place was plastered but not painted. At that place, my brain was not up yet.
I said, plastered, not painted.
She went on, and if she had stopped there, it would have been nice. Said, there was no roof.
Hey, trouble.
Is God this difficult? Somebody is living a holy life, dressing like spirits like this, and all she gets is a shop. That looks like a kiosk. Then all of a sudden it began to rain in. Oh! You know all those things that you cannot say no in the service because who are you? But you're the. You know that everybody. But that, who you say that though is in your spirit. I said, rain. Ordinary airplane. As you go higher, you go above rain.
If Abuki was on earth.
But I said that in my mind.
Hallelujah.
In my Father's household.
Praise God. There are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you.
The word prepare there is the word eitomazo. It means to create a space inside. It's not an external work where you are, I'll tell you what I mean. You know, we can build something out there. We're constructing. Okay? But we can also create a space in here. All we're doing is, you can sit here. You can sit there. Jesus was not talking about constructing something outside. He was saying we are coming inside.
Hallelujah.
All our minds was an external job. But if you follow the discussion, don't forget, do not read in verses. Read in what? He was not talking about something elsewhere. He was talking about what the Father will do in mine. So that where I am, there you may be also.
You now say, where are you going? And you know those wonderful questions.
Are you following this? Now look at this. He says in verse 13. Okay, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than this shall he do because I what? Now at this point, you will think the word go to the Father means I'm going to meet the Father. But he had already told you in verse 3, I will receive you to myself, so that where I am, there where you'll be also. Who's following what I'm saying here? Don't leave anyone out of context. Follow through what he was saying. So in 13, he says, and whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you say, I will ask, he will do it. Look at 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's only 10 commandments. What commandment? Believe. The commandment he gave to them was the what? Believe. Now look at 16. Let's say 16 together. And I will pray. Oh, everybody now. I will pray. And he will give you that he may what? Abide with you. So the going to the Father was to abide. Are you following? Abide with you for how long? Some folks hate that word forever. Forever. What is forever? When bad religion sets in. Forever became something else. It means for now. Look at 17. Let's say 17 again. Let's go.
Even the spirit of truth. Everybody else, let's come on. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not, neither know him. But you know him, for he dwells where?
And shall be where? So the going is a coming.
Look at the next verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will what? So is the going a departure or an arrival? Look at the next thing. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live. Verse 20, let's go. At that day you shall know I am where? Are you in me? So the going to the Father, is it a coming or a leaving? That means the going to the Father refers to the Father residing in us. I will go from this status. I will go from this position I am. I will go from that physical Jesus that is with you. I will go and prepare a place so that where I am, there you may be also. And he says in 23, look at 23. 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. We will come where? Can you see it now? We will do what? Please look at your Bible. Don't look at me. We will come to him and make our what? So was it a departure or an arrival? Hallelujah. So the ascension of Christ is the indwelling of the Spirit. He did not ascend into somewhere. He ascended into us. That ascension is the indwelling. That's what he meant in verse 20. In that day you will recognize. And thank God we are recognizing. Thank God we are recognizing. I said thank God we are recognizing. Hallelujah. So we are in that name now. Are we in that name now? So the ascension of Christ is his name. That indwelling of the Spirit. The Father is in me now. Say the Father is in me. And Christ is in the Father. The Father is in me. I am in him. Hallelujah. This is the ascension of Christ. You know you cannot see that one by eyewitness. Come on now. You can't write that one in the four gospels. When you enter into the epistle, you find it there. To the saints that are where? In Christ. How can you see in Christ Jesus in the four gospels? No, you can't see it. You can only see it by revelation. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So the name of Jesus refers to the indwelling of the Spirit. The Spirit within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because now is now the founder. He is the first begotten. Praise the Lord. He's the head of the church. He's the firstborn. Said, I'm coming to you. That's not the rapture. Has he come to us? Has he come to us? You know, as long as those guys were seeing his physical body, they were veiled from seeing his indwelling. So he vanished from their sight so they can concentrate on his indwelling. Jesus never left the church. That's why he said, lo, I am where? With you. How can somebody leave him? Say, I'm with you. He said, I'm with you always. So he left their eyesight so that they can have his spirit sight. Hallelujah. Because the Jesus they were seeing, who was eating and drinking with them, was where? He was in them. Every time you see a vision of Jesus, hallelujah, it is of lesser importance, lesser weight than Christ in you. So the ascension of Christ is his indwelling in us today. The Father's glory is to live in us. The Father's kingdom is to live in us. The joy of the Father are the sons that he has made of men. I am the joy of the Father. Say, I'm the joy of the Father. So the name of Jesus today, oh, glory to God. That name, that authority is the indwelling of the Father in us. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? So,
Can you separate the resurrection now from the ascension? Can you? The resurrection is a physical resurrection of Jesus, a fact of the gospel. But much more than that, He was not just raised from the dead. Praise God. He now lives in us. That's the ascension of Christ. In that resurrection, in that ascension, He's now glorified. He said, the corn of wheat will abide alone, except it dies. Then it brings forth much more fruit. Glory to His name. That's John 12:24. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So Paul now prays, Ephesians 1. He says that the eyes of your understanding mean enlightened. Verse 17. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what's the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Where? In this day. And what is the exceeding greatness. Thank you, Jesus. Of His power. Woo! Towards that believe. The word towards us there. Doesn't mean like, you know, when this stuff blowing towards me. No. It's what A-E-I-S in the Greek. A-I-S. It means at them or in them. So the exceeding greatness of His power in us that believe. Say, I'm a believer. And that power is at work in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Exceeding greatness. The word is hyperbalo. Hyperbalo means to throw beyond target. To throw beyond target. To throw beyond target. Exceeding greatness. The word there is megatos. That is to show your might. The excellence of your might. See, Paul was so precise. He was picking adjectives. That these things are incomprehensible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for your life. Come on. Thank God for your life. Be grateful. Be grateful. That's who you are. Praise the Lord. We are that beauty of His holiness. That's what we are. A man's son is his work. A man's son came from him. Hallelujah. If you call a man's son a goat, the man must be a goat. But glory be to God. Glory be to God. As He is, so are we in this world. That's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As He is, so are we in this world. We are the many sons in glory. Glory be to Jesus. Are you still there? So the name of Jesus speaks of a family. So the exceeding of Paul's prayer, the exceeding greatness of His power to those who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. The word working there is the word energio. What always works? What is always effective? All Greek scholars agree that Ephesians 1:19 is the largest concentration of adjectives of power in the entire Bible. According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. Two words there, kratos and the word istus, authority and display strength. So this is what He wrought in Christ. When He raised Him from where? The dead. Hallelujah. So this power is at work in me now. If it's not at work in you, that means the name of Jesus was a fluke. But glory be to God. It was not a fluke. It's a fact. So you are the product of that resurrection. The ascension is the product of the resurrection. Jesus ascended by indwelling every man that is born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, this is the Father manifest. See, this is the Father manifest. What does that mean? The Father is living in you. That's why when Paul writes a letter, said God our Father. Hallelujah. And the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not just words of excitement. They are words of truth. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. Psalm 110 verse 1. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at the right hand. On my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Now, we said the word seat is the word yashab. Can you remember that? Yashab means to dwell. It's not to sit like you are sitting now. No. Seat means to dwell. It's the same word for the word meno or mune. Dwell at the right hand. Till I make thy enemies your footstool. And today, that has been fulfilled in us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2.
Hallelujah. So, you can see the resurrection was captured by eyewitness, right? But the indwelling was captured by what? Spirit witness. By eyewitness, you see the resurrection. 120 people saw him. 120. Some say 400. They saw him. They touched the head with him. But you cannot see him by touching his physical body. In the ascension, you see him by revelation knowledge. By knowledge. In that day, you will know. So, when you see the pictures of Jesus seated somewhere, it's either the eyewitness or a vision. The book of Revelation. Or the four gospels. Elsewhere, you will see Jesus in us. The only place you will see Jesus in a location is in the four gospels or in the book of Revelation. Are you there? Or in a vision? Christ is in us. Say, Christ is in me. Say, Christ is in me. In visions, you can see him. You can see him. Oh, Jesus. I said, oh, I saw him. I touched him. In a vision, fine. A vision is of lesser weight. But in the knowledge of the scripture, the knowledge of the Son of God, where do we see him? We see him where we are. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5. Are you learning something? So always separate the resurrection from the ascension. The ascension is a product of the resurrection. But the ascension now talks about the indwelling of God in men. Are you learning something? Ephesians 2 5. Hallelujah. I close it. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Are you in church? Watch this now. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's take it together. Okay, let's start from 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together. Hallelujah. Are you there? Go on. With Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6. And made us what? Together. The heavenly places. In the ascension, you can't. In the resurrection, you won't see us together. You see Jesus, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Thomas. But that limits you a lot. That limits you. But when you go to the epistles, you don't see Jesus, John, Paul, Kola, Wole, Ngozi. No. You see them, you see Christ in them. So the name of Jesus today is not the man on the streets of Jerusalem. It's the indwelling of the Spirit in us. That's why he said, in my name, you will. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified in his Son. That means what you do is what he does. Why was that so? Because he now lives where? In me. I have Christ's abilities. Say, I have Christ's abilities. I've got Christ's abilities. I'm Christ within dependent. I'm Christ within dependent. This is the name at work. This is the name at work. So the name of Jesus is working now. When I cast out a demon, that name is working. When I speak in tongues, that name is working. When I give thanks to the Father, that name is working. Hallelujah. When I receive a leading of the Spirit, that name is working. That's the indwelling. When I live above sin and lust of the flesh, that name is working. It means His Spirit is working in me. Hallelujah. So I walk in the name. I sing in the name. So imagine you singing, let me see. There's power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Is that the name? You can do that in the crusade ground. For those who are not born again, they have chains, but not in Christ. There's no chain in this family. Hallelujah. What we say? There is power in the name of Jesus. We break every chain. Hallelujah. That's what we have. That's who we are. Some songs are not worthy of the name. They are not. They can't be. Something that makes me come into your presence. Is that the name? What does the name say? The name says, in that day, you will know that I am in you and you are in me. Hallelujah. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, what joy that floods my soul. Somebody told me one day, he said, Pastor, but you sing these songs in healing meetings. Exactly. Healing meetings have to appeal to everybody so that you can be healed anyhow. Something happened now. I know he touched me. Touched with what? He lives in me. Hallelujah. 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 That is the name of Jesus. So when we say in the name of Jesus, we are not talking about someone in a distant place. We are talking about someone who lives in us today. When I say in the name of Jesus, I am releasing that ability that I have. Hallelujah! Because he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And that is the indwelling of the Spirit. Bless this afternoon.